So as we begin with Pikuach Nefesh, we'll follow Rav Neuberger's Seder. We'll begin with Pikuach Nefesh. Next time, Mr. Shem, we'll do Amiru and Akhir. But the basic makar for Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is from the Gemara Masechtas Yuma and Daf Pei Hei, where the Gemara says that there were once a whole group of Tanoim and Amoraim that were walking along the way, Tanoim, and they were having a discussion amongst them, what is the source for the idea that Pikuach Nefesh, life-saving activities, are Doche Shabbos. And the Gemara brings up a whole slew of possibilities in the course of that discussion as to a source for Pikuach Nefesh. And the Gemara really leaves at the end with two viable possibilities, one which the Gemara prefers over the other one. The first viable possibility, at least, is from the Pasuk, V'shamu v'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos, l'asai sa Shabbos. Klai Yisrael should observe Shabbos in order to make Shabbos. How do you observe Shabbos in order to make Shabbos? That sounds redundant. So the Gemara says, no, chalel alav Shabbos achas kadei sheyishma Shabbos atzarbe. Meaning, if you're not going to be mechal this Shabbos, you won't be around next Shabbos to keep Shabbos. So v'shamu v'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos, keep Shabbos in a way that you'll be around, you'll be alive next Shabbos. So you see a source for Pikuach Nefesh being Doche Shabbos. Then the Gemara brings another source, which the Gemara prefers, which is V'chai Bohem V'loi Sheyamos Bohem. You're supposed to live through the mitzvahs, not die through the mitzvahs. And therefore you see that Pikuach Nefesh should override the mitzvahs of the Torah, of course, with the exception of Gilei Rashi V'chus Damen Avodah Zarah. So that's the source that the Gemara prefers, because the Gemara says all the other sources have a pircha, levar, except this last one, except for the one of Shmuel, the v'chai behem, v'lo yishayamas behem, and the Gemara prefers it, because it includes suffix pikuach nefesh, because v'chai behem implies that you will certainly live. All the shyness in the Chumash are with absolute certainty. So v'chai behem, meaning you will surely live, as opposed to even a suffix pikuach nefesh, which would also be Doche Shabbos. So from here you see that even a suffix pikuach nefesh, therefore the Gemara prefers that reason as opposed to the other reason of chalel lav Shabbos achas kadei sheyishma Shabbos atzarbe. Just an aside on this point that even suffix pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos. So Shechter in the Beikvei Atzon, it's in the Mar Mekoymes, outlines three types of sveikos. Almost everything I'm quoting will be in the Mar Mekoymes if you want to look it up. And Rav Shechter outlines that there are three sveikos when it comes to three categories of suffix when it comes to Shabbos. He compares it to other areas as well with regards to Pikuach Nefesh. The first suffix, meaning what's called the suffix Pikuach Nefesh as Derech Shabbos, was not called the suffix Pikuach Nefesh as Derech Shabbos. So Rav Shechter quotes from Pisrei Tshuva and Hilchos Avelos, which quotes in the name of Tshuva Sam Sofer, that it has to be a legitimate suffix. It can't be Echad Minei Elef Alfei Alofei, meaning let's say a guy stubs his toe and he thinks that he's going to die. So he said, calls Hatzalah, take me to the hospital. What would happen, sir? I stubbed my toe. So then, you know, barring the fact that there's other relevant information, that's not enough for us to be Mechal Shabbos. Why? It's a suffix. You know, every now and then you're standing on the checkout line in the grocery store and you see on the Inquirer, some man dies from stubbed toe, from ingrown toenail. So it happens, you know, it could happen. Echamine elef alfe alofe, it might happen once in every, you know, thousands. It could happen in theory. Still, that's not enough of a suffix in order to be Mechal Shabbos. The Sam Sofer is basing himself on a brayse in the Masechta Smachis. The brayse says in Masechta Smachis that were supposed to bury a mace right away. Lo Solon and Lo Sol Eitz Ad Boiker. You're supposed to bury him right away. But the brayse says in Masechta Smachis, it once happened, you might remember this from learning Hilchos Avelos, it once happened that they used to bury sometimes in vaults. So in the ground, in caves, but they used to bury in slots. There wasn't enough room for everybody to have their own kever, so if you put enough space in between, you could bury one mace on top of the other one in caves. So they were burying a guy in one vault, and they heard someone knocking, you know, let me out, from the other one. So they buried him, and they buried him alive. Even though his heart had stopped, and it didn't seem like he was breathing, he came back to life. So because of that, so the Chassam Sofer, there was a takana, or a suggestion brought up in the time of the Chassam Sofer that we shouldn't bury mace until after 3 days from the time that they died, in order to make sure that the guy's not going to come back. By the way, it's mamish maisim. It happens every 6 months in the news. You'll see it's not from far, you know, only from like Romania. It happens in like, you know, it happens. You could Google. I had my shiur once. I printed out all the times that it's happened. But it mamish happens. There's a woman who could come back to life like 15 times or something. Mamish heart stopped and everything. So it happens. Lamaisa, it happens. You'll Google it, you'll see. It happens. So what does that mean? We shouldn't bury Mason for 3 days to the Sam Sefer said, no, that's so far-fetched. It agreed. Naniach, it happens. Bryson, Masech, the Smachas, it happens. But that's not a suffix that's good, that legitimate enough to be Mechal Shabbos. So Echamine Elef Alfe Elofim is not good. Even if you're nervous, it doesn't help. So that, and then there's the other extreme. There's a suffix where it doesn't depend on you. It's so pashut that it's a suffix Pikuach Nefesh. Even if you say, I'm not nervous, I'm fine, we will force you to accept treatment on Shabbos. And that is what the Ramban quotes in the Taras HaAdam. It's quoted by the Magen Avraham in the name of the Radvaz, that if a doctor thinks that there's a suffix Pikuach Nefesh here, you know, it's and most people would be nervous. It's an umden and demuchach. Most people in their right mind would be everybody would be nervous. 1 in 10 people with this ailment die, and you don't want to go to the hospital. So if it's those types of odds, we would compel you to accept treatment on Shabbos. It doesn't depend whether you're nervous or not. So you have one extreme, which is, you know, kind of everyone would agree is a pikuach nefesh. Then you have what, you know, most people are not concerned with, which is echamine elf alfe elofim. And then there's somewhere in between that some people are, you know, in between 1/10 of people die and echamine elf alfe elofim, where it kind of depends on the person. If you're nervous, then that would be considered a pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. And if you're not nervous, then it would not be considered a pikuach nefesh. So Shelter quotes like that from the Chafetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish. And two different scenarios they were discussing, that in this middle ground, it kind of depends on you. The Chazon Ish was talking about when they were dropping bombs during World War II, and they would they didn't have sophisticated tracking type of equipment that we have now. They would, wherever they saw lights, they would bomb. So people were nervous to leave their lights on. They wanted to turn them when the air raid siren went off. They would turn off their lights. So they wanted to know, can you turn off the lights on Shabbos? Maybe you could just close the shades. Might be good enough, but, you know, there might be a little light sticking out. So Chazon Ish held, if you're nervous, you could turn out the lights. If you're not nervous, then you can't turn out the lights. So you see, the Chazon Ish held in this middle area, if everyone was turning out the light, push it, everyone's nervous, then of course you have to turn out the light. But if it's some people nervous, some people not, then if you're nervous, it's Pikuach Nefesh, if not, not. The other case that Rav Shechter quotes there is from the biography of the Chazon Ish called Pe'er Hador, which is Rav Shechter writes that biography. So there it tells a story that once they invited the Chafetz Chaim to come to participate in a convention of Rabbanim they were having to be, to strengthen Shmir Shabbos. Because it was a factory that made a takana that everybody who works in the factory has to come to work on Shabbos. And some of the former Jews were going on Shabbos because they were afraid they were going to lose their job. And they held to lose their job would be Pikuach Nefesh. So they wanted the Chafetz Chaim to come and to say it's not Pikuach Nefesh, everyone has to lose their job. So the Chafetz Chaim would not come. He wouldn't speak out against it because he held these people are nervous. They're going to lose their job. So for them, it's Pikuach Nefesh. So Chazon Ish added that don't think if the Chafetz Chaim had a job in his factory, he would have gone to work. He said, but he held that for them, they were nervous about it. So for them, perhaps it was Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore he didn't speak out against it. You look it up, it's an interesting mindset. Anyway, so we have these three categories of suffix. There's the far-fetched suffix, the Sam Sefer, that doesn't even reach the threshold of suffix Pikuach Nefesh. Then there's a suffix that everyone would seek treatment, and we would compel someone to seek treatment. And then there is the middle category, which kind of depends on the person. Okay, so that's all included in V'chai Behem V'lo Shiyamos Behem, that even suffix Pikuach Nefesh is Deich HaShabbos. The first source that the Gemara had for Pikuach Nefesh being Deich HaShabbos is v'shamu v'nei Yisrael as Hashabbos, lasus as Hashabbos, chalel lav Shabbos achas, kadei sheyishmar Shabbos as harbei, violate one Shabbos, so that you'll be around in order to have next Shabbos. So is that reason, once we get to v'chai behem v'lo sheyamos behem, is that reason gone? Meaning if we totally rejected chalel lav Shabbos achas, kadei sheyishmar Shabbos as harbei, or perhaps both reasons still exist, V'chai behem v'lo sheyamos behem comes to include something Pikuach Nefesh, but that doesn't preclude the fact that V'chalel of Shabbos Achas, K'dei Sheyishmer Shabbos Tzarbe, still operates. I mean, can we still rely on that? So it happens to be the Rambam quoted in Hilchos Mamrim in a different context, which is, so you see the Rambam held that it still applies. But the Netziv claims that that was a dispute between the Bahag and the Ramban. The Bahag's opinion is that one is Mechal Shabbos even for an Ubar, even for a fetus, in Mechal Shabbos. Why? But he might not be a bar kayama. He might turn out to be an Eiffel. So why machal Shabbos for a fetus? And it's not v'chai behem v'lo sheyamos behem. V'chai behem v'lo sheyamos behem only implies if you will certainly live. I'm sorry. Right. We want to make sure you will live with certainty. So even a pikuach nefesh, safek pikuach nefesh is daicha Shabbos too. We want to make sure you'll live with certainty. Here we don't know if the guy's a bahar kayama, is a safek nefel. Every Uber is a safek nefel. So we don't know, he's not even v'chai b'hem, he might not be his own independent life. Let's say he's in the third month of pregnancy, fourth month of pregnancy. Can he be mechal Shabbos for an Uber, which is not really included v'chai b'hem yet? So the Bahag says yes, you can be mechal Shabbos for the Uber, and the Ramban and the Torah Sa'adim disagrees, and he says no. So the Nitziv claims in the Hemek She'elo that they're arguing about whether or not v'chalel of Shabbos achas, k'dei she'ishma Shabbos is harbe, continues to function. According to the Bahag, the reason why he allowed to be mechal Shabbos for an Uber is because chalel of Shabbos achas, k'dei she'ishma Shabbos is harbe, violate this Shabbos, so you'll have next Shabbos, the Uber will be alive next Shabbos. But according to the Ramban, or maybe future Shabbos, when he'll be born. But according to the Ramban, it's only v'chai b'hem v'lo she'yamas b'hem. You have to be a real life. Maybe the Uber is not a real life yet. And the Bir Halacha quotes that we are a mako like the Bahag. Because the Bir Halacha disagrees with the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that if you have a Safek ben Zayin, Safek ben Ches. In the times of the Shulchan Aruch, times of the Gemara, if the child was either be born during the seventh month or the ninth month, if it was born in the eighth month, the child would certainly die. Vaday Nefel. The Chazon Ish already, others after him, right, that nowadays Nishtanu HaRefuos, or Nishtanu HaTvoim, however you want to phrase it, it's a big difference between the phraseology, but either Nishtanu HaTvoim, either we changed, or medicine changed, but whatever the case is, nowadays, of course, Ben Ches do live, and of course one would be obligated to be Mechal Shabbos for them. But in the times of the Shulchan Aruch, a Ben Ches was a Vadei Nefel. So you couldn't be Mechal Shabbos for a Ben Ches. What if you're not sure if it's a Safek ben Zayin, Safek ben Ches? So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not Mechal Shabbos. You're not Mechal Shabbos. So the Bir Halacha disagrees. He says it's no worse than an Ubar. An Ubar, the Bahag Paskin, the Mechal Shabbos, even though every Ubar, every fetus is a Safek ben Zayin, Safek ben Ches, because he hasn't been born yet. I don't know, maybe he'll be born in the eighth month. You never know. So you see that for a Safek ben Zayin, Safek ben Ches, such as every Ubar, you can be Mechal Shabbos. So must be, says the Bir Halacha, we don't paskin like, he at least derived from the Bahag, that perhaps we shouldn't accept what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So therefore the Bir Halacha was maker like the Bahag, where Mechal Shabbos, even for an Ubar, even less than 40 days, even though, you know, if you know that whole discussion about the abortion discussion, less than 40 days, the Gemara says it's Maya Ba'alma, nonetheless we'd be Mechal Shabbos, even for an Ubar, less than 40 days. We don't apply this far to Kula, though, but, we don't say, well, if either way a guy's not going to be around next Shabbos, the doctor says he's a few hours to live, so it's to say, oh, well, we only say chalei alav Shabbos achas kadei sheyishma Shabbos tarbe. Either way, the guy's going to be dead by Monday. We're not mechal Shabbos. We don't say it the other way. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Chav Tes if Sivdalad, even laharech the life of the chayil, even for a few hours, chay yeshua is still chayim. So we'd be mechal Shabbos for that too. So we don't apply it the other direction. But at least in one direction, to be Mako, not to be Machmir, but in order to be Mako, we'll still accept the Svar of Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Tarvah. Yeah.
How sure do you have to be that refuel
work? Suffolk it might work. If it's a Hail Mary, meaning, I don't really expect, you know, it's like, you know, we don't know what else to do, so, you know. So let's scrape the bottom of the barrel. So if there's a, you know, it's the old rule of Suffolk. If it's Echamine, Elif Alpha, Elifim is going to work, I don't think so. But if it's a reasonable person might try this, or, you know, someone who's nervous might try this. You hear what I'm saying? It fits back into the rules of suffering. There's a bigger discussion, which is not in Hilchos Shabbos, which has to do more with Malchus Asuros, which is, let's say you're trying a new treatment, which hasn't been proven yet. It's not a refuah beduka. So then, can I, let's say, take Malchus Asuros, can I eat a pill which has Malchus Asuros in for a trial medication? That's a discussion in Yardea, which might apply here too. But it's a larger discussion about unproven medications. But assuming that this is a proven medication, whether it will work for this chayla or not, this is a legitimate medication. So as long as there's a suffix, that it might work, you're allowed to do it. I think another place you see whether or not this svara operates, continues to operate, chalel av Shabbos achas kadesh yishma Shabbos is harbe, or perhaps all we have is v'chay behem v'lo shiyamos behem. Is with regards to Sakonas Aver. We're going to discuss it a little bit more late, all the way at the end. But the Gemara says in Masechtas Avodah Zarah that Sakonas Ha'ayin is Kesakonas Nefoshes. Sakonas to the eye is like a Sakonas Nefoshes. And you can be Mechal Shabbos with the Deiraisa. So the Rush writes over there, and that Gemara, that's only the eye. Because the Gemara says, Suraina de'ena beliba talu. There was a connection between the eye and the heart. Bali Machshava go to town with this. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. What's the connection between the eye and the heart? But there's a connection between the eyes and the heart. So the Gemara assumed that therefore, Sakonis ha'ayin is because Sakonis nefoshes. But any other aver, let's say a guy loses a limb on Shabbos, that's not reason enough to be Machal Shabbos for a deraisa. A derabbanan, yes, but not a deraisa. Practically, the Nishmas Avram, Dr. Abraham's sefer, which I think we mentioned, did we mention last time? You should own it. It's the Bible on medical ethics. It's Dr. Abraham's Nishmas Avram. So in the Nishmas Avram, Dr. Abraham makes the point that we came out don't have a Sakonis Aver anymore, because every Sakonis Aver could be a Sakonis Nefoshes. You break a bone, you could get a blood clot. When a guy gets a finger removed on Shabbos, so it could get infected. Almost every Sakonis Aver, unless you're a doctor, you wouldn't know the difference between a Sakonis Aver and a Sakonis Nefoshes. So the Maisa, Rabbi says, Sakonis Aver, you on Shabbos. But in theory, we're talking about if you could have such a concept as a Sakonis Aver without a Sakonis Nefoshes. So Rosh says only the Rabbanans, not the Raisas. There is an Das Yochid, there's a Meiri, Taisis and Sukkah. There are Deos Yechidos that, I don't know if you can have Deos Yechidos, it's more than one then, but there are, you know, individual Rishonim here there that seem to say that that Sakonis Aver is Kisakonis Nefashis, and the Pais can discuss it, but Lamais, we accept that Sakonis Aver is not Kisakonis Nefashis. When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. That's when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. In Kol Torah Kula, though, Sakonis Aver is Kisakonis Nefoshes. How do you know? The Shach says in Yoredeah, if they say, violate this Easter in the Torah, or we'll chop off a limb. So you're not obligated to lose a limb. You're allowed to be over on an Easter Deiraisa to save a limb. Or Ramosh has a tshuva. Let's say a Kayan gets a finger cut off. So now it's an Aver Menachai. Aver Menachai is Metame Tumas Kayhanim. He's not allowed to come in contact with an Aver Menachai. So can you reattach the Kohen's finger to himself? He's going to have to be over on Easter of Tumas Kohanim to get his finger back. So Ramosha says, yes, you're allowed to. Why? Because when it comes to... He has a whole gantz of pilpul, but at the end, he comes to the conclusion that yes, because you're not obligated to give up a limb for the Easter of Tumas Kohanim. You're not obligated. Why should there be a difference between Shabbos and Shari Surim? How come there's a difference between Shabbos and Shari Surim when it comes to Sakonis Aver? That's the kasha of the Egel Eital asks in the Hakdama. So the Egel Eital says, it's because of Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Harbe. The Gemara implies, when the Gemara says, why you have to be Machal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh? So the Gemara first suggests, because Chalel of Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Harbe. What's the only reason you're allowed to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh? So you should keep Shabbos next week. Meaning, but Shabbos, the Gemara had the Havamina, at least, or perhaps the Maskana, that Shabbos is Yaharik V'Yavar. Shabbos is not, Pikuach Nefesh should not override Shabbos inherently. It's just, Shabbos protects itself. So keep Shabbos next week, violate Shabbos this week, so you keep Shabbos next week. But it sounds like if you're not going to keep Shabbos next week, really there was no heter to violate Shabbos this week. I said we don't accept that Sfar Lamaisa, but that's what the Gemara implies. That Shabbos, you're only allowed to violate Shabbos because more Shabbos. But not because life is inherently more valuable than Shabbos. Shabbos might be more valuable than life in that sense. So then it could be, therefore, there's a residual chumrah, at least, when it comes to Sakonis Aver, that Sakonis Aver is not because Sakonis Nefoshes when it comes to Shabbos, because in a certain sense, Shabbos is more chumrah than the other Isurim, because of the only reason, the Gemara said, you got to be Machal Shabbos, and Kuach Nefesh is Chalel Rav Shabbos Achas, Kedei Sheishma Shabbos Asarim. Not because life is itself inherently more valuable. So it could be that as a residual effect of that svara, we're more machmir. That's what the Egel Eital suggests. That for that reason, we're more machmir when it comes to Sakonis Aver by Shabbos as opposed to by Shari Surim. These two opinions in the Gemara, which we have, for why Sakonis Nefoshes, Doicha Shabbos, is it because Chalel of Shabbos Achas Yesh Yishma Shabbos is Harbe, or is it because Mechai Ben Vagoshi Yomas Behem might also indicate. Might be the basis for a running machlekes, which we have throughout a number of issues in Pikuach Nefesh, is Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos Hutra or Dechuya. What Hutra means is that there's no conflict. Meaning when Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh come, encounter one another, Pikuach Nefesh overrides Shabbos, but it's not that there's actually a conflict. just life is more valuable than Shabbos or Trump Shabbos. There is literally no conflict between the two. How could you have that? Well, that's what's implied. Chalel alav Shabbos achas kedei sheyishma Shabbos harbe implies, maybe, that you're allowed to violate Shabbos in order to keep next week's Shabbos. Meaning, perhaps that implies like the Archaim HaKadosh. The Archaim HaKadosh writes in the Pasuk, Vishamu v'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos, same Pasuk. So he said, Vishamu v'nei Yisrael es HaShabbos, Lasus es HaShabbos. It should keep Shabbos in order to make Shabbos. So the Archaim HaKadosh comments, how do you keep Shabbos in order to make Shabbos? The same Kasha of the Gemara. So Archaim HaKadosh says on Chumash that there's two Shabboses. It's not a drash over here, Rabbi. There's two Shabboses. There's a Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh, where you keep the Lama Tes Melachos, and then there's a Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, where you violate the Melachos. But that's also Shabbos. There's two types of Shabbos. There's Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh. That's why Shlomo Zalman said, it's quoted by the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that if a person, let's say, violates Shabbos, and he was mistaken, he shouldn't have violated Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh. He thought he was violating Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh. They get to the hospital, they say, what are you doing here? Go home. You don't have to be here. Let's say a woman goes into false labor, so she's having contractions. We run to the hospital. And they say, a guy thinks he's having a heart attack. He gets there, it's gas, you know. So what do I feel? It happens a lot. Did you feel bad? We took him in the hospital. If I ran there, it was just gas. So no, the answer is you're supposed to go to the hospital. If you think you have if you did something, Laman Pikuach Nefesh, or Shlomo Zalman says you don't need a tshuva, you don't need kapara. Because what you did was you thought you were being Machal Shabbos, and that's for Pikuach Nefesh. That's also Shabbos. There's Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, there's Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh. And he did the right thing. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Neuberger mentioned it, that a person who stops to ask a shaila, when he has confronted with a situation, a possible situation, Pikuach Nefesh, is Hareza Shoifech Domim. He's a murderer. You're not supposed to stop and ask shaylas. You're supposed to just do. You just go. The Mishnah Berurah calls him the Yerushalmi that, no, whoever is asked a shayla of Pikuach Nefesh, he's a Shoifech Domim. Why? Because he didn't teach, who's it talking? It's talking about a Rav. The Rav didn't teach his Baal Batim Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh. They stopped to ask on the way to the hospital. It's his fault. That's why Neuberger had his whole story that the Rav requires, if they did something wrong, the Rav requires tshuva. But that doesn't mean that they got to the hospital and they told them the guy's fine. If they get to the hospital and they said, you did the right thing under the circumstances, you thought the guy was having a heart attack, but he's not, it says of Shlomo Zalman, you don't need any kapara. Because what you did, you thought was a different flavor of Shabbos. There's one Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, one Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh. So that's what's implied by the Chalel of Shabbos Achas, Kadei Sheishma, Shabbos is Harbe, Vishabbos Menehes, Oso Shabbos, Lassos is Shabbos. There's two types of Shabbos. Shabbos with Bikuach Nefesh, Shabbos without Bikuach Nefesh, but Shabbos and Bikuach Nefesh are not a contradiction to one another. They work well, they work in tandem. That violating Shabbos and Bikuach Nefesh is also called Shabbos, it's Hutra. But if you go more with the thrust of Vachai Bahem, Veloshi Yamos Bahem, that implies that there is a conflict here between Shabbos and Bikuach Nefesh. Just life trumps mitzvos. V'chai b'hem might be the greatest value above and beyond that of Shabbos. So if that's the case, then that perhaps might imply that Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is dechuya, is that there is a conflict. Pikuach Nefesh trumps, but there is a conflict. Whereas Chalel of Shabbos, if Hashem of Bnei Yisrael says Shabbos, Asas says Shabbos, might imply that there is no conflict in the first place. There's Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh. So again, either way, the Shulchan Aruch says you're confronted with the situation, Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos, you should just do, you shouldn't ask. And even if you did, and it turned out you didn't need what you did, of course you would not require tshuva. Neuberger mentioned as an aside, I just want to make sure people got it, is, well, how do you know if it's Pikuach Nefesh or not? Don't you have to ask if it's Pikuach Nefesh? The answer is, he quoted from the Aruch HaShulchan, it's a great chap, is that whatever during the week, no, you don't stop, you know, whatever during the week you would run to the hospital for, then you run to the hospital on Shabbos too. Whatever during the week you would call a doctor, then you call a doctor on Shabbos too. Meaning, you shouldn't operate differently on Shabbos as you would during the week in terms of determining what is a Pikuach Nefesh, what is not a Pikuach Nefesh. We all know as people and who have some life experience, what is Pikuach Nefesh and what's not. And we run to the hospital for things that we understand you have to run to the hospital for, and we don't for things you don't. And that same as Seichel should apply on Shabbos as well. this issue, whether or not we accept v'chai b'hem v'oshi yomas b'hem v'sham v'nei sasa Shabbos asas sasa Shabbos is pikuach nefesh on Shabbos hutra or dechuya, is there a conflict, is there no conflict, it seems to be the basis for the machlekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chav Ches, most of the things we're quoting are in Shin Chav Ches, in Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Beis, quotes the Gemara Masechtas Yuma, when you're machalot Shabbos for a chayli, you should do so with Yisraelim Gedolim, not with Noshim, not with children, not with a Nachri. Dafka Yisraelim Gedolim. Why? So Tarsus and the Ran say, because otherwise people will think, if I run to go get a child, I run to go get a Nachri, they'll think you can't be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. It's a terrible thing. That's why the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkan Lamedal, quotes from the Rambam, the Parashat Mishnayos, you should Dafka look for Talmidei Chachamim to be Mechal Shabbos. I'll tell you, when in my shul, whenever we had to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, I did it. I was makbid to do it myself. Like this, even though the Ramah is going to disagree, I mean, if we had a Nachri available, we'd use a Nachri like the Ramah. But if someone in the shul had to do it, I was makbid to do it. Because it's a real fear. People think, they don't know. I remember I was once in the YU Beis Medrash over here, before this building existed over there. We were davening Shachris in the morning, and a guy passed out. Mamish passed out. Like, just keeled over. We didn't know he just fainted, but he happened just fainted. But the guy, Mamish, in the middle of Shemana Esrei collapsed. And everyone's looking around at one another, like, what do we do now? In the middle of Shemana Esrei, I was like, I'm like, the guy collapsed. Maybe, you know, let's do something over here. Everyone's like popping and, you know, I'm like, all right. Anyway, so even you see guys in yeshiva, they don't know what to do when confronted with Pikuach Nefesh. So this is a serious concern that people will think, you know, I don't have to be Mechal Shabbos or Pikuach Nefesh, or somehow I don't want to get my hands dirty with it. But that's absolutely not the case. So therefore, the Rambam says, Dafka should be a Talmud Chacham. The Ramah disagrees. And he says, the only time the Gemara said you should use Yisraelim Gedolim is when there's no Nachri around. Or it's going to take a long time to find the Nachri. It's going to sacrifice the, you know, expedience in terms of the guy's care. Then you should do it with the Yisraelim Gedolim. But if you can find the Nachri and it won't affect his care, or you can do it with the Shinoi, so then the Ramah says that's what you should do. The Ramah quotes from the Shilta Gibarim, and of course that's the way Ashkenazim paskin, that we should try and lower the Yisurim if time is not of the essence. You should try and lower the Yisurim. That's why if you have time is not of the essence, you should always take a taxi. You have to get to the hospital, but you should always take a taxi. You should always, never drive yourself to the hospital. First of all, I'm saying if you have to, you have to, but you should try and avoid it because you have run into a whole bunch of problems. You get to the hospital, you can't turn off the car. Some hold, you can, or Shlomo Zalman, or Chuvin, the Mincha Shlomo, you're just turning off the gas, the engine goes off by itself, you're just stopping the flow of gas, blah, 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 whole back and forth. Maybe it's dangerous to leave a car running, but you know what? There's other ways around it. But you get into a whole host of, there's valet, you can get around it. But in the end of the day, it's a whole host of problems. Who opens the door? Open the door with the Shinoi, blah, blah, blah. Better just to take a taxi. Always. And you lower the Issa to an Issa Derabbanan. As long as time is not of the essence, you know, you have a few minutes to spare, it always pays to take a taxi. If you can lower the Yisurim, of course you should lower the Yisurim in whatever way you can. The Paiskim debate, what is the hierarchy of lowering Yisurim? So the Rav Yaakov Emden writes in the Morok Sia that asking a Nachri to do it is always preferable to doing it b'shinoi. And then Rav Zalman Nechemia writes in a tshuva in the Halacha, this was a set of Svarim called Halacha Rafua, that I'm sure are not popular anymore, but it was popular one time. Or they had an article there from Zalman Nechemia who says that the hierarchy is Nachri Shinoi Katan. That's the way you should try and lower the Yisurim. But anyway, you're supposed to lower the Yisurim. The Bi'alacha writes, if you have an opportunity to lower the Yisurim and you don't, you're Chayev Chatos, to that degree. You might be in Issa violation of Midairais if you don't lower the Yisurim and you can, yeah.
Can you pay the taxi?
It's Dirabbanan. It's better than driving yourself. Handling money is Muktzah. Paying him is Mecha Chumemkar. I don't think you can take the change. I always tell people you can't take the change, but you can pay with a credit card. No one asks you to sign anything anymore. Give the guy a credit card. So you're handling Muktzah.
I'll say they call a taxi. It's not there.
Derabbanan. All phones, Derabbanan. Phones are Derabbanan. Money is Derabbanan. Cell phone is Derabbanan. The only thing that's derived on Shabbos is electricity, is electric light, is light with a filament. Otherwise, it's all Derabbanan. So it's better than turning on a car.
Have to, like, run away from the taxi? Like, I don't know.
Where is it run away? Shaila is, can you keep the credit card with you? I always tell people I think they could keep a credit card with them. What if something else comes up? They're going to need to go somewhere else. What if they need to, I don't know. So I tell a guy, always take the credit card, put it in your sock. Because there's no Erev wherever you're going, probably. So you keep it in your sock. You're carrying Kilach or Yad, and at least you're using a credit card. It's better than you could even probably maybe put a cell phone in your pocket. You can't take a cell phone to call the grandmother and tell her you had a girl. That you can't do. But you can keep the cell phone in case maybe is another, but you need to call another doctor. At least you have a phone with you. But if you can lower the surim, it's always best to lower the surim. And the Bialacha goes so far as to say, you're chayv chatas if you don't. That's the Ramah. Ramah passing this way. Ashkenazim passing, you have to lower the surim if possible. Yeah.
I don't understand the hierarchy with the katan being a little shinui. Like, first of all, wouldn't you always.
Not if the katan knows he's doing it for you, is a whole discussion of children on Shabbos. But child knows he's doing it for you, that's. Right. Get a whole
problem. If he doesn't know it.
Yeah, maybe it is. It's a shiur for a different topic. It's mamish a whole different topic of Shrisas Ketanim on Shabbos. Shlomo Zalman writes in the Mincha Shlomo, a big chiddush, but Rabbi Chanan has the same thing in the Kovet Shiurim already, in Ksubis actually, that you only say you have to lower the Surim if all situations are equal. Meaning, I either have the option of doing it like this or option B, and they're both the same, neither one is more of a tirch or more of a bother, then you should try and lower the Surim. But if one of them is any sort of inconvenience to someone else, let's say, or to myself, then you don't have to do it. Therefore, Shlomo Zalman had the surprising case of a guy, let's say, who needs hot water on Shabbos, and it's in the middle of the night. So I don't, and you don't have a Shabbos urn on, or you exhausted all of your water. So, but you know your neighbor has a Shabbos urn on. So should you boil water in your house, or go to your neighbor, wake him up at 3 in the morning, and get from the Shabbos urn? So Shlomo Zalman said, you should boil water in your house, not go wake up your neighbor at 3 in the morning. You have no right to wake up your neighbor at 3 in the morning. You have to lower the surim as much as possible. That's only when everything is equal. And here it's not equal, because this guy's in the middle of sleeping. So Shlomo Zalman held, you don't have to lower the surim in that case. Another case where this comes up is with regards to the comment of the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Lamas of Kon Aleph, by pregnant women. Does a pregnant woman have to go stay near a hospital in order to be mamayit be surim? Let's say she might go into labor on Shabbos, she might not. She's in the middle of the ninth month. And the in-laws live near the hospital. Does she have to go to the in-laws, the outlaws, every Shabbos? Or not? It's close to the hospital, she probably walk there. Or maybe you don't have to go to chutzutchum or whatever. So she obligated to do that or not? So Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Sefer Chassidim, anything you could do to be mamayit in Chilul Shabbos for your lettuce, you should do. Because the Gemara says, Masechtas Nida, the Chassidim HaRishayim used to have relations only on those days that they knew they wouldn't have to give birth on Shabbos. I don't know how it was so planned like that, but they were able to tell whatever day they'd have relations on, the child would be conceived and would be born on Shabbos and not born on Shabbos. But they're thinking so far in advance. So you see, you have to plan in advance not to have Chilul Shabbos. So Sefer Chassidim says you could avoid it, you should avoid it, and go stay near the hospital in the ninth month. However, in the Sefer Teretz HaYoledes, that's by Rabbi Zilberstein, Rabbi Eliashiv's son-in-law, so he quotes there from the Shver from Rabbi Eliashiv, Rabbi Lulachim, he quotes from Moshe Sternbuch, that you don't have to go stay near the hospital on Shabbos, because everything's not equal. Stay by the in-laws for Shabbos. 4 weeks in a row by the in-laws, it's not push it. So that's a tircha, and you don't have to be machiach yourself to avoid Chilul Shabbos. The Gemara says Chassidim HaRishonim would regulate which day they had relations on in order to make sure they wouldn't be able to lay down Shabbos. That's why they're Chassidim HaRishonim. That was a Chassidus of those individuals. But it's not something that that is really obligatory Me'ikir Adin. Rav Moshe Sternbuch does add the caveat, if let's say a woman is already, she's having contractions, just the doctor says there's no point in coming now, wait till the contractions are a little bit closer, then Rav Moshe Sternbuch claims, then you have to go, but it's coming Shabbos, you call 4 in the afternoon, you're having contractions, he says, you know what, come in 5 hours, it's moving too slow. He says, 9 o'clock, but it's already going to be Shabbos, Rav Moshe Sternbuch calls, then you have to go before Shabbos. Because you know you're going to be there on Shabbos, it's not a suffix anymore, you know you're going to be there, you should go now. Rav Moshe is the same thing. I think Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this. Rav Moshe is the same thing in the Igros Moshe. If a doctor knows he's going to be on call Friday night, he knows he has a patient Friday night he's going to have to go see, so he should go before Shabbos. He's going to miss chicken soup. He's going to miss gefilte fish. He's going to miss his Karbach Kabbalah Shabbos. All of these things are not Doicha Shabbos. My chicken soup is not Doicha Shabbos. You know you're going to be there Friday night. You got to go now. That's what Rav Moshe says. But even on that, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed. Even though you know you're going to be there Friday night, you don't have to miss your chicken soup to go before Shabbos, because the only time you say you have to lower your sumas, everything is equal. And it's not equal here. I'm missing my minion. I'm missing my kitchen. I'm missing my filter fish. Whatever you're missing, you don't have to give up on that in order to lower the Isurim. Lamaisa, when you drive there, it will be for Pikuach Nefesh. And you only have to lower Isurim if everything is equal. And here it's not equal. Going to the in-laws, it's not equal. And here it's also, it's not equal. So Shlomo Zalman Mamish took this, even if you knew you were going to be there on Shabbos, he still insisted that the only time you have to be lower the Isurim is if you know everything is going to be equal. What is this machlek? Is the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam? The Shulchan Aruch calls you don't have to lower Yisurim at all. Do it right away in the normal way. You don't have to look for a Nachri, no Shinoi, no nothing. And the Rambam says, no, you have to try and lower the Yisurim if you can. What are they arguing about? So the Avnei Nezer claims they're arguing whether or not Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya. Shulchan Aruch holds it is Hutra. So there's no conflict here that I have to try and minimize. Pikuach Nefesh is itself Kiyum and Shabbos. So I could do it the normal way. But the Rambam holds no, Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya. It's this, yes, Pikuach Nefesh trumps Shabbos, but there is a conflict. Try and minimize the conflict if at all possible. So Rambam seems to hold Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya. The Shulchan Aruch seems to hold Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra. There is another place where the Shulchan Aruch implies like this, and that is from the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yodau. The Shulchan Aruch says if you have a chayla who needs meat on Shabbos, so you have two options of procuring the meat. You could either shecht an animal on Shabbos in a kosher way, or you could buy nevela meat. They say there's no kosher meat available. You could either buy nevela meat or shecht an animal on Shabbos. What should you do? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch you should shecht the animal on Shabbos. Why? Shabbos is skila, nevela is a lav. Shouldn't you violate nevela rather than chilul Shabbos? So it's the Achrayim understand from the Shulchan Aruch that Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos might be Hutra. Again, same idea. Why should you violate Shabbos rather than eating Nevela? Because Pikuach Nefesh, when it comes to Nevela, might be Dechuya. When it comes to Shabbos, it's Chalel of Shabbos Akhazi, Shishma Shabbos is Harbi, Vishabbos is Shabbos, Shabbos is Shabbos. Shabbos, there's two types. There's Shabbos with Pikuach Nefesh, Shabbos without Pikuach Nefesh. So it could be that's why it's preferable to shecht an animal on Shabbos rather than eating a nevela, even though nevela is alive and Shabbos is skila, because Shabbos, when it comes to a conflict of Pikuach Nefesh, not a conflict. That itself is a fulfillment of Kiyum Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham and the Taz, and they say, no, no. The reason why the Shulchan Aruch said you should rather shecht on Shabbos rather than eating nevela is because by nevela, every kezias that you eat will be another Iser. You can take one bite, Iser. Another bite, Iser. Another bite, Iser. Whereas Shabbos, you shecht the animal, now it's all behetera. So the Shulchan Aruch holds many little Isurim is worse than one big Iser. There's a tumult in the Achrayim. Is one many small Isurim worse than one big Iser, or one big Iser is worse than many small Iser?
Isn't it much
to
Shabbos?
Yeah, but it's for a chayla, so it's allowed. It's also Shechita, which is a Lama Test Malachas. What are you asking, Ma'is Hashem?
I'm saying, but like, based on your logic, I mean, clearly you are not looking at it that way, because they're both allowed, but you're still counting Yisurim. Because the Nevela is also allowed for the Chola.
Right.
So I'm saying, like, once you're saying that, so why isn't Shechita, Ma'is Shabbos, but isn't that also like a lot of Yisurim, because you're eating the...
Ma'is Shabbos is the Rabbana. Yeah, come on. The Emek Bracha of Aipam Ramshik, the Talmud of the Brisker Rav, claims that the Shulchan Aruch always held the Chuya, like the Ramah. Why is he makel to do it with Yisraelim, Gedolim, Tamidei Chachamim? He was concerned that people won't take care of the Chaylim properly. So he said, always do it with the Rav. The Rav should be the one to do it. Yisraelim, Gedolim, don't look for a Katan, don't look for a Nachri. We should have the Jews drive him so people know he can be Machal Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh. Not because it's Hutra. You don't have to try and lower Yisurim. It's for public policy concerns. And the other, over here, that he says you should shecht on Shabbos rather than eating nevela is because many small Isurim are worse than one big Isur. So it could be the Shulchan Aruch, it's debatable. Whether the Shulchan Aruch held Hutra, the Shulchan Aruch held Dechuya, we could perhaps get out of it. But the Ramah clearly holds Dechuya. The Ramah says if you have a conflict between Shabbos, you must try and minimize it and lower the level of Isurim that you are using. So at least Ashkenazim, we know that we paskin on the Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya, and you have to try and lower the Isurim as much as possible. Not only does it relate to lowering the Isurim, but it also relates to whether or not you could enter into a situation of Pikuach Nefesh knowingly. The Mishnah says in Masechet Shabbos that they used to wash, we'll get into this in Hilchos Milah, they used to wash the baby in hot water before the Milah and hot water after the Milah on Shabbos, during the week too, but they did it as an antiseptic. What if the water after the Milah spills? I'm sorry, the water for after the Milah spills before you did the Milah. So you're going to wash the baby with hot water, because you have one, but then afterwards, you're not going to have any hot water. You're going to have to heat up water for pikuach nefesh as an antiseptic. Can you do the milah knowing that you're going to have to heat up water for after the milah for pikuach nefesh? Meaning, can you enter into a situation pikuach nefesh knowingly? So Ramban says, yes, ein l'mitzvah l'makayim v'shayita. I have a mitzvah in front of me now. Do the mitzvah. Ooh, then I'm confronted with pikuach nefesh afterwards. Okay, then so be it. I don't have to make such chesbonis. You don't have to plan so much. And the Baal HaMor says, no, you don't do the milah. Why? Why does the Baal HaMor say you don't do the milah? So it's generally understood that it's because the Baal HaMor understood pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is the chuya. Since pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is the chuya, you can't enter into a situation where you don't have to. It's not being thrust upon me. I'm doing it knowingly. You're not allowed to knowingly enter into a situation of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos where you know you're going to have to violate Shabbos pikuach nefesh. That's how the Baal HaMor is generally understood. Chazon Ish has a famous pshat in this Baal HaMor. It's quoted in the Pe'er Hador, in the biography of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish had a chiddush that, the Baal HaMor is telling us something else. The Baal HaMor is telling us that there's a difference between Chilul Shabbos and Bitol Shabbos. There's a difference between violating Shabbos and doing away with Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish held, Pikuach Nefesh allows you to be Mechalal Shabbos. You can violate Shabbos. But you can't obliterate Shabbos. So over here, if you knowingly go into Shabbos, you do something on Shabbos, which knowingly will create a situation of Chilul Shabbos, that's not Chilul Shabbos, that's Bitul Shabbos. You did it knowingly, you violated Shabbos, I mean, you created a situation by which you're going to have to violate Shabbos, that's not Chilul Shabbos anymore, that's Bitul Shabbos. And Pikuach Nefesh doesn't let you do that. Chazon Ish applied this, difficult case, but the Chazon Ish was asked, there was a plane that was leaving Europe in time of Second World War, getting people out. Saving. Mamish said, Hatolos Nefoshes. After the war, maybe a little bit, during the war. And the plane could only take off on Shabbos. So they asked Chazon Ish, can we take off on Shabbos? The first time they asked Chazon Ish, he said yes. The next time, 2 months later or something, they came back. They asked Chazon Ish again, same exact shaila. And this time the Chazon Ish said, no, you can't go. So they asked him, what happened? The first time he said we could fly out on Shabbos. How come this time not? So the Chazon Ish explained, because the first time was Kibbutz Shabbos. He said, but now you knew about it. You know to avoid Shabbos. And you did it? That's Bitul Shabbos. That you can't do. You obliterated Shabbos. Well, that's why the Taina of those who worked on Shabbos, because they were afraid of Bikuach Nefesh, the Taina was Bikuach Nefesh. If they don't have a job, they'll be Bikuach Nefesh. So isn't that a good Svara? I mean, it's an excellent Svara. You won't have a job. I expect to earn a Parnassa, so that should allow you to be Mechalal Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish said, no, the reason why they're wrong is because, again, we don't judge anybody who lived through that period, but the reason why they're wrong in halacha is because that's Bitul Shabbos. To work every single Shabbos, that's not Chilul Shabbos, a one-time thing. That's every Shabbos, no Shabbos, going to go to work, that's Bitul Shabbos. You obliterated Shabbos from the calendar. So that's not Chilul Shabbos, that's Bitul Shabbos. How to apply this concept, you have to be, I hate to be like this, you have to be a Das Torah. To know what's called Chilul Shabbos, what's called Bitul Shabbos, is a very fine line. But anyway, that was the explanation the Chazon Ish had for this Baal HaMor. But the situation comes up in another scenario, and that is the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, "Ein mafligim v'Shabbos gimel yomim kodem haShabbos." You're not allowed to take a boat trip 3 days before Shabbos. Why? Because the Baal HaMor explains that Gemara because they knew that sea travel was dangerous, and you might have to be mechalal Shabbos on Shabbos during sea travel. So if you went 3 days before Shabbos, then it's kind of like you're putting yourself in a situation of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. If you travel Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I don't have to think about the following Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you got to still already be thinking about Shabbos. So you're not allowed to go on a boat trip Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, putting yourself in a situation you might have to be mechal Shabbos on Shabbos. That's why the Shmir Shabbos Kochaza says if you have an elective surgery, you should really not have it on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, because you might have to be Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos in order to, for the care of the patient. You should rather have it a nose job, have it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Not cosmetic surgery should not be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You even have it sometimes. A doctor, it's a surgery you have to have, but you have an option of when to have it. You should have it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Most doctors don't give you an option anymore. I don't know. This psak is relevant for a time that's, you know, gone by. Doctors have one day they do surgery. Either you take them on that day, or they say good luck, Charlie. You know. Doctors don't have. There's one day doctors induced. There's one day doctors have surgery. They're in the hospital. They don't come. They don't give you whatever day you want. They'll be there. You know, those days aren't around anymore. So usually you don't have such a choice. But if you end up one of these things, you have such a choice, or you're in pain, then also it doesn't apply. But if you have the choice, and the doctor will do whatever you want, then you should pick it not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The Baal Amor here though seems to contradict himself, because the Gemara says, even though you're not allowed to take a boat trip Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if it's b'mokoy mitzvah, that is allowed. If you're going for a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to take a boat trip. So let's say I need the pikuach nefesh, or let's say I want to do something because of a b'mokoy mitzvah that's going to generate a situation of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. So it sounds like from the Baal Amor that should be allowed. So why did the Baal Amor ask you from doing the milah if the water spills? Before the milah, the water spills. The Baal Amor says you can't do the milah anymore because you can't enter a situation because nefesh on Shabbos, because nefesh is duchuya, you have to avoid it. How come the Baal Amor says you can't do that, but the Gemara says you can take a boat trip for a dvar mitzvah? Milah is a dvar mitzvah. So why can't I put myself in a situation because nefesh on Shabbos for a dvar mitzvah? What's the dvar mitzvah of milah? Why does the Baal Amor ask you from doing the milah? So Mishnah Brura, all the Achrayim are aware of this kasha, this stira in the Baal Amor. It's a famous stira in the Baal Amor. Rav Salvechik has a famous shir about this stira in the Baal Amor. Came up with a psak, him and Rav Dr. Belkin, about sending chaplains to the army, knowing they're going to have to violate Shabbos, and he has a tshuva about this. I think Rav Shechter reprinted it. A tshuva about the chaplains going to the army, and he has this kasha stira in the Baal Amor. So there's two terutzim for this stira in the Baal Amor. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham and the Reish Lakish say there's a difference between a Vaday Chilul Shabbos as opposed to a Suffolk Chilul Shabbos. Meaning, you're allowed to take a boat trip for a Dvar Mitzvah, even though you might have to violate Shabbos because of Piguach Nefesh, because it's for a Dvar Mitzvah, it's allowed. That's only a Suffolk. If you know Bivados, like the Mila, if you do it, you will certainly have to heat up water afterwards, then you can't enter that situation. Even for a Dvar Mitzvah, you can't enter into that situation. The Archa Shabbos quotes other Achrayim who disagree, and this is a Salvechik's distinction as well. They distinction between whether you enter into the situation on Shabbos versus entering into the situation before Shabbos. Let's say you enter into the situation before Shabbos. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I know I'm going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, perhaps even Bevados. But I entered into the situation before Shabbos, that's allowed, if it's B'makom Mitzvah. If it's not B'makom Mitzvah, not allowed. But on Shabbos, to enter into the situation of Pikuach Nefesh, even for a Dvar Mitzvah, that's not allowed. So they distinguish, the Archa Shabbos of Salvechik distinguish between on Shabbos versus before Shabbos, and the Mishnah Berurah and the Archa Shulchan distinguish between a Vaday Chilul Shabbos as opposed to a Suffolk Chilul Shabbos. Either way, the Baal Amor reinforces the idea of the Ramah. We pass in Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya. So number one, the Ramah says you should try and minimize the conflict, lower the number of Yisurim, if everything is equal, said Rosh Shlomo Zalman. And number two, the Baal Amor adds you should not enter into a situation of where you know you'll have to violate Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. Maybe if it's on Shabbos it's worse, or it's a Vada Pikuach Nefesh. Either way, you should try and be avoided. Therefore, if Shechter mentioned that it's difficult, how is one ever allowed then to become a doctor? You're putting yourself in a situation where you know you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh. Let someone else do it. Why should I be allowed to be a doctor? Oh, it's B'makoy Mitzvah. First of all, it's Vaday Chilul Shabbos. So maybe you could argue it's B'makoy Mitzvah. So if Shabbos said, no, it's not a B'makoy Mitzvah. I don't have a mitzvah to learn medicine. If there was a mitzvah to learn medicine, Rabbi said, we'd all have to be doctors. There's no mitzvah to learn medicine. There's a mitzvah, if you know medicine, to heal people. But you can't say, well, I'm allowed to enter into this situation because of the B'makoy Mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to learn medicine. Just what Ramesha says, just like there's no mitzvah to become rich, to give tzedakah, so too there's no mitzvah. If you have money, then there's a mitzvah to give tzedakah, or lots of tzedakah. No mitzvah to earn lots and lots, gobs and gobs of money, to give gobs and gobs of tzedakah. There's no such mitzvah. If you have money, you should give tzedakah. So too, if you know medicine, you should be heal people. But it's not B'makoy Mitzvah to allow entering into a situation of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. Yes.
Learning is never
going to
get you into that situation, though.
You're
never
going to
be going to learn how to be a doctor, and that's
going to
make you violate Shabbos.
It is. Why are you violating Shabbos? Why does a doctor violate Shabbos? Since he knows how to heal people, he now has to be Michal Shabbos. Why are you allowed to put yourself in that situation?
Well, so why can you learn medicine? Because that would make you able to save those lives.
So what you have to say is, this is what Shechter phrased it, it's an important kasha to think about, but Shechter said, what you'll have to say is, no, I'm not going into medicine to learn how to be Michal Shabbos. I'm going into medicine, I'm going on joining Hatzalah to save people during the week. I know medicine, now I have a mitzvah of saving people on Shabbos too. But I'm really learning medicine. This way you'll have to phrase it. It's just an important way to think about it. Really, you'll have to phrase it that I'm learning medicine to heal people during the week. I'm on Hatzalah to heal people, otherwise let someone else do it. Why should I do it? I'm doing it to help people during the week. And then, Agav, you have the right to save people, you have the right to save people on Shabbos. But then itself, the learning, see, it's important to phrase it like that because the learning of medicine itself is not a pikuach nefesh. Rav Moshe writes as a famous tshuva to a kohen who wanted to go to medical school. So Rav Moshe said, even though you come in contact with Meisei Akum, which we don't have time to get into that whole discussion now, but we are machmer not to, a kohen shouldn't come in contact with Meisei Akum. So every medical school, you have to come in contact with cadavers. So Rav Moshe was asked, is the doctor, a guy allowed, a kohen allowed to go to medical school knowing he's going to have to come in contact with Meisei Akum? So Rav Moshe says, there's no heter pikuach nefesh. What a pikuach nefesh? You're not healing anybody now. You're learning how to heal people. That's not called pikuach nefesh. Yes, down the road, you might heal people, but you don't have a chayla right now that you're healing. If you don't have a chayla b'faneinu that you're healing, so Rav Moshe held that then you have no heter. Or Shechter also held that you have no heter to be Michal Shabbos in the process of learning medicine. You can learn medicine to heal people during the week, but to be Michal Shabbos in the process of learning medicine, that if there that would be the case, I'm saying you'd have to avoid it because nefesh and Shabbos is dechuya. You should pick a different profession. So it must be you have no heter to be mochal Shabbos, and even when you're learning medicine, you're not learning medicine to heal people on Shabbos. You're learning medicine to heal people during the week. The fact that you heal people on Shabbos too is because once you know medicine, you have a heter to heal people on Shabbos. So Shechter held that this is well known that there's no heter pikuach nefesh for people in the course of seeking a medical knowledge to learn medicine. When you know medicine, there'll be a heter, but not now. Rabbi Tendler has an article which he printed in one of the MTJ journals. He printed in the name of Rabbi Moshe that he feels it's pikuach nefesh for all of Klal Yisrael that we need to have Jewish doctors in every specialty. We need Jewish pulmonologists and Jewish pediatric cardiologists and Jewish oncologists. We need Jewish people in every one of these fields, and that itself is pikuach nefesh, which should allow one to have a dispensation to violate Shabbos in the course of learning medicine. That's a big statement. Rav David Cohen, they say, is a Mipi HaShmuel, quotes the same thing in the name of Rav Guzman, who is his Rebbe. But that's,
course of learning means residency?
Well, sometimes, I don't want to paint with broad strokes. Sometimes residents do most of the work in the hospital. So some things are, but a lot of times you make rounds of medical schools. So the last 2 years of medical school, I don't think you're healing it. I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of it. I'm sure sometimes yes and sometimes no. But if we are painting with broad strokes, so then learning medicine is not a good enough. If you're actually healing people, I agree. You're just doing the dirty work. The nurses are the ones who actually do all the dirty work and save people. The doctors come in and tell them, do this, do that. But so if you're actually doing it, then it should be allowed. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where Rav Moshe says, a doctor, since pikuach nefesh on Shabbos is dechuya, a doctor's number should not be listed in the phone book. Well, I don't want people calling me on Shabbos. Let's let them call someone else. So you should avoid it to that degree. Pikuach nefesh is dechuya. Should avoid it. Don't list your number in the phone book. Most doctors don't do this. They give out their number to their patients. First of all, otherwise they'll have no patients. But the Pisrei Tshuva quotes them some Sefer, and it's again in Hilchos Avelos, that lo mikol adam zeichel lesrapos. Not everyone can just hop around to different doctors. You have your doctor, and he has a relationship with you, and he understands your medical condition. So he works well with you, his temperament. So since lo mikol adam zeichel lesrapos, you're allowed to have your number listed, give out your number to your patients. But let's say it's not to your patients. So then you should try not to just, randomly violate Shabbos in order to save people's lives. So therefore, Rav Moshe says you should avoid being on call on Shabbos. Let someone else do it. I shouldn't seek the shift, even if it is pikuach nefesh, and pikuach nefesh is hutra on Shabbos. I'm saying it's mutar on Shabbos. It is dechuya and should be avoided. So you should try and avoid being on call on Shabbos. Rav Moshe has a tshuva also about switching shifts. Let's say you want to try and get out of being on call on Shabbos, you want to switch to the Nachri. So switch to the Nachri is great. Well, let's say you want to switch with another Yid, but the Yid is not religious. So you're allowed to do that or not. So Moshe says, yes, you're allowed to do it. Why? You're saving him from Isurim. The guy was going to play golf and drive his golf cart on Shabbos. Now he's going to be saving people. So now he's doing what he's doing is mutter. Before, what he's going to do is usher. Now what he's doing is mutter. And Rosh Hashanah and Mincha Shlomo disagrees. And he says, no, you can't switch shifts with him because it's lifnei even the Eitzarah. You're giving him an Eitzarah, something you don't want to do. You don't want to be Mechal Shabbos to be Kuach Nefesh. Let someone else do it. It's Dechuya. So I say, okay, so I'll switch with him. Yeah, it's true, what he's doing at the end of the day will be for Pikuach Nefesh, but there's a famous Sifri, the Sifri says, in this Kavin Lechko, Basar Chazir, a person intends to eat pork, so also be other Basar Tleh, and he ends up eating kosher meat. So the Brisa says it requires Kapara, because you intended to do an Iser, even though also be other Basar Tleh, you end up getting a Heter, which you did with Mutter, but you intended to do an Iser. So over here, the guy thinks he's being Machal Shabbos. He doesn't know from Shmira Shabbos. He doesn't have intention for the heter. He intends to do an Iser. And you gave him now, you gave him a heter, Pikuach Nefesh. But he was going to be B'Mechal Shabbos either way. So he doesn't get the, he still requires a kapara. So Shlomo Zalman said, you can't switch shifts with a Jewish guy. But Ramosha held, you can. You're, in fact, you're doing him a favor. Because before he's going to be B'Mechal Shabbos B'Iser, now he's going to be B'Mechal Shabbos B'Heter. Another place where perhaps you see, so one, again, the second place you see this discussion, Hutra Dechuya, is with regards not only to, do you have to minimize the conflict, can you enter into the conflict to begin with? Another place where you see this discussion, because Nefesh is Hutra Dechuya, is with regards to ancillary care. It says in the Shulchan Aruch over here in Shin Chav Ches, that you quote in the name of the Ramban and the Torah Sa'adam, the Kol Masha Regilin Lasos Lo B'chol, that's what you should do for the Chayla on Shabbos, whatever you would normally do during the week, Shabbos too. So the Magid Mishnah has a diuk. The Magid Mishnah normally comments on the Rambam, but here the Magid Mishnah comments on the Ramban that you should, it implies you can even do ancillary care. During the week, I'd move the bed up and down, I'd turn the light on and off, even though it's not going to save anybody's life, you know, the positioning of the pillow or the electric bed, I presume. But, at least in most cases, but you're allowed to do that for the Chayla on Shabbos, because ancillary care, Shar Tzarachov, is also allowed. So Bir Halacha is not happy with this Magid Mishnah. How could that be? You're not saving anybody's life. How can I light a fire because, you know, ancillary care, he wants a certain aroma in the room, or he wants the bed moved like this. How can I violate Shabbos and do an Iser when that's not saving the life of the Chagah? Because Nefesh, yes, not Shar Tzarochav. So therefore, the Bir Halacha concludes only for Isurim Derabbanan, not for Isurim Deraisa. But the Brisker Rav in his Sefer on the Rambam quotes in the name of Rav Chaim in Hilchos Yom Kippurim that the Rav Chaim held we should pass like the Magid Mishnah even by Isurim Daraisa. Even by Isurim Daraisa, you're allowed to violate Shabbos for Shar Tzarachov. The Bir Halacha says only for Isurim Darabbanan. Even according to everyone then, let's say to move the bed up and down in the room is only Darabbanan. So Chayla wants the bed moved. You could do it yourself. You could, it's true, you could ring the nurse if she's a Nachri, you ring the nurse. And she could do it for you, and you lower the level of the Iser from you doing an Iser Derabbanan to getting the nurse to do it, which might be a Shvus to Shvus. The problem is, you do that, you ring the nurse every two seconds, the nurse is going to stop coming when you actually need her. So you have to, you know, figure out what's the best course of action for the Chayla. But you have a Heter to move the bed too. Well, let's say the Chayla wants the light off. Turning off a light is only Derabbanan. Malach Shein Tzrich Lagufa, you don't need the burnt out light bulb or whatever. Certainly if it's fluorescent. So all of these things, according to everyone, would be allowed. The Bir Halacha would allow that too. But what is the nature of this heter of Shar Tzarachov? Why should ancillary, Taka, the Bir Halacha is right. Why should ancillary care, secondary care, be allowed? So Rav Elchanan explains in the Kovetz Ha'aris, Rav Avadi has the same thing in the Chavadas, that it's because of Shapikoch Nefesh and Shabbos is Hutra. There's no conflict. So once Pikoch Nefesh and Shabbos comes, the floodgates are open. Do whatever you want. Even if it's not negeah to the etzem sarkanis, it should be allowed. But there's one caveat, and that is the Gemara, and they compare it to karbanos on Shabbos. The Gemara says in Maseches Menachos that even though you don't have to burn the chalavim and evarim on Shabbos, you could burn it matzei Shabbos. Kevin shekvar dachsa shchitas haShabbos, since shchita pushed aside Shabbos already, you could burn the chalavim and evarim on Shabbos too. You could have waited till matzei Shabbos. You have to do it on Shabbos. Kevin shekvar dachsa shchitas haShabbos. Shkita comes, opens the floodgates, anything now. So too, Rabbi Chanan and Rabbi Avadia also say, you have to have violated Shabbos for the Etzem Sarkonis. If I violated Shabbos for the Sarkonis, the real life, the real Sarkona, now the floodgates are open, you do whatever you want. Because Nefesh on Shabbos is now Hutra, and you can do whatever you want. The Avnei Nezer says a different pshat. In the Rav Shechter likes the pshat of the Avnei Nezer and the het of the Magi Mishnah. And that is a different idea. He says once, based on a Radvaz, that the Radvaz quotes it from the Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos. The Gemara says Masechtas Yevamos that a child who has a little, we'll get to it in Hilchas Mila, has a little eye ache, we push off the Mila. Why do we push off the Mila for a little eye ache? Why do we push off the Mila? So Radvaz explains, because Mila itself is Sakonis Nefashis, because the Pasuk says, Alecha Haragnu Kol Ayayim, and the Gemara Masechtas Bar Makama says, Zu Mila, we kill ourselves for Mila, meaning because Mila itself is Sakonis Nefashis. So once you're ready, Sakonis Nefashis, you know, the scales are teetering in one direction or the other, live, life, death, any little thing, so far-fetched, the guy doesn't move bed and he dies, even though normally would not allow that. That's like stubbing toe. But the guy's already teetering. We never know what might tip it in one direction or the other. You violate Shabbos even for Shabbat Sarocha. Even turning off the light, the guy's not going to die from having the light on. Yes, but he's already touch and go. So you never know what might happen. You'll have to be Mechal Shabbos even for the Shabbat Sarocha. The difference will be, according to the Avnei Nezer, you don't have to have violated Shabbos once for the real Sakana. Even if you didn't violate Shabbos with the ones for the real Sakana, he's just one direction or the other. You know, so he's a Chayosh Yesh with Sakana already, can violate Shabbos for Shabbat Sarocha. This comes up with regards to not only a million different cases of Shabbat Sarocha, but it comes up in particular with a procedure that could wait till Matzei Shabbos. Let's say you have a Chayla who needs a procedure, but it could wait till Matzei Shabbos. Do you have a Heta to do it on Shabbos? A kid gets cut on Shabbos, they fall down, they get a gash. You could do stitches on Shabbos, you rush to the emergency room, or sometimes, depends on the gash, depends on when it happens, sometimes you could wait a little bit to stitch up the wound. Depending, sometimes you have up to a few hours. So say a kid falls down 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we could stitch it up on Shabbos now, or we could wait till Matzei Shabbos to stitch it up. Can you do it on Shabbos now? So Rav Avadia calls him the tshuva of the Mitzpeh Aryeh, the same as in the Rashash and Masechtas Yuma, that yes, you could do it now. Why? Because it's Shar Tzarachav. It's no worse than moving the bed. If you could violate Shabbos to move the bed, certainly you could violate Shabbos to stitch up the wound now. Because that's no worse than ancillary care, stitching up the wound now. Assuming stitches involves a Malacha Deiraisa. You could stitch up the whole discussion. But assuming stitches, Shlomo Zalman or Rabbi Yashiv held it involves a Malacha Deiraisa. So assuming it involves a Malacha Deiraisa, you can nonetheless do it now. Why could you do it now? Because to wait till Matzei Shabbos is no worse than ancillary care. True, you could wait till Matzei Shabbos, but you could do it now because it's no worse than Shabbat Sarocha. Or similarly, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Nishmas Avram that let's say you're stitching up a wound. So to prevent infection, let's say, is a din deiraisa, that's Sakanas Nefashas deiraisa, is to prevent infection. You stitch up wounds for two reasons. I'm not a doctor, I only know this from speaking to lots of doctors about this. You stitch a wound for two reasons. Number one, to prevent infection, it keeps the wound closed. And number two, to minimize the scarring. So let's say you could put in 4 stitches and it'll stay closed, but it'll look horrible. You have scar tissue all over the place. So that's why they put in lots of stitches. The pikchus of plastic surgeons, they know how to do the stitches very tightly that you have no scar. Emergency room guy will go, you're done. And then it won't get infected, but you'll have a big scar. Fine, so but once you're stitching it up anyway, can I get the plastic guy? I'm doing 15 stitches. Can I get the plastic guy to do 30 stitches? So Shlomo Zalman had yes. It's Shaar Tzarachov. The real Zarkonis is stitching it up with the 15. Shaar Tzarachov is 30. So too, if I could wait till Matzei Shabbos, so I could do it now. You could do it now. It's no worse than Shaar Tzarachov. So that's all true. What if it's a Jewish doctor? Let's say I get there. It's Dr. Goldberg. So Shaar Tzarachov Amutter. Yeah, but what if stitches involved the Malacha Deiraisa? The Bir Halacha held, Shaar Tzarachov is only mutter for Isurim Derabanan. So if it's a Nachri doctor, you're good to go. Or if stitches on Shabbos are only Derabanan, you're also good to go. But if Shlomo Zalman or Rabbi Yashiv held, it was within the Malacha Deiraisa. And let's say you get the guy over and his name is Stephen Goldberg or something. What are you going to do over there? It's a Din Deiraisa. So someone once told me, Paisek once told me he's right. He said, it's okay. The non-religious doctor in the hospital can rely on Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim held that you can rely on the Magid Mishnah for Dinim Deiraisa and Malacha Deiraisa too. So since Reb Chaim held you can rely on the Magid Mishnah for Malacha Deiraisa, the non-religious doctor could be Saimech on Reb Chaim that he could stitch up the wound on Shabbos also. But again, according to Reb Avadia and according to Reb Ochanan, that this is all based What is Shai Tarekov about? Since Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra, once the floodgates are opened, so that anything goes, that's only if you once violated Shabbos for the real Sakonis. So if you violated Shabbos, let's say, in getting to the hospital, child falls down. So we violated Shabbos to get there. Now you want to stitch up the wound. They say you can wait till Matzei Shabbos. Stitch it up now. Shai Tzarachav. Fine, that's no problem. Let's say we once had a Talmud in the fourth year. Mamish did this before we learned Pikuach Nefesh. His kid fell down on Shabbos and he carried them like 4 miles, with all within the Eruv. So within 4 miles to the hospital. So they told him, you did such a takala. Because now, what happened? I'm not sure they violated Shabbos for this girl, for the girl. And they could wait till Matzei Shabbos to do the stitches. You didn't push aside Shabbos yet for the real Sakana. I don't know if you have the heter of Shai Tzarechov for Rabbi Chanan, for Rabbi Vadia, you might not have the heter. Once you pushed it, if it came in Shikfar, Dachsa Shidas, a Shabbos, you pushed aside Shabbos. Even a different Shabbos. You pushed aside last Shabbos for the Pikuach Nefesh, now you have the heter of Shai Tzarechov on this Shabbos. But if you never violated Shabbos yet, maybe you can't start with Shai Tzarechov. Either way, you could ask a Nachri to do it, to stitch up the wound on Shabbos. It's Amir or Nachri. And either way, to sit there the whole Shabbos like this in the waiting room, you know, holding a wound shut, is at least a Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana. Might not be a Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana, it's a Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana. You could always ask a Nachri to do it. For Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana. So it'd be a heter to ask a Nachri either way. But it's an interesting case. According to the Amnei Nezer, that the heter is based on since you're Chayla She'ein Bo Sakana, you might get an infection. So once you might get an infection, any little thing might tip the scales in one direction or the other, even if you haven't violated Shabbos for the Etzem Sakonis. It should be allowed to violate Shabbos for Shara Tzarechov as well. A similar case is, let's say we mentioned Sakonis Eber is not Deicha Shabbos, on a Melacha Deiraisa. So Shlomo Zalman says yes, but let's say a guy gets a finger chopped off. It happens in shuls a lot. Kids are running around Nebuch. I've seen it. So, and they bring the kid to the hospital with the finger, whatever, and they say, you know, it's Sakonis Eiver. Stitches are Deiraisa. Sakonis Eiver, you can only violate the Rabbanans. So first of all, you get a Nachri to do it, okay. But what about, let's say the doctor is Jewish. Can a Jewish doctor sew back on a finger, which is only Sakonis Eiver? So Shlomo Zalman says, yes, it's Shai Tzarechov. You drove to the hospital, a kid got a finger chopped off in the Nebuch, Chas Lane or something like that. So then, you're ready to violate Shabbos. To stitch back on the finger is Shai Tzarechov. So all of that should be allowed. That's all included in ancillary care. So again, this might be related, whether Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra, Dechuya, Rabbi Chanan, and Rabbi Vadia claim that the heter of Shai Tzarechov is only if you assume Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Hutra, which is a problem. We assume Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos is Dechuya, not Hutra. So it wouldn't work well for us. But we mentioned another possibility, that Shai Tzarechov is based on the Amnei Nezer. Once you touch and go, we're afraid anything might tip the scales in one direction or the other. What is called Shai Tzarechov? What's included? Where do you draw the line? The guy wants a newspaper. Can we go buy a newspaper for him? Is that Shai Tzarechov too? So Shulchan Aruch says over here, Shin Lam and Sif Aleph, an important halacha, that if you have a Yoledes on Shabbos, and she's blind, but she wants the lights turned on, because she says, hey, doctor, are you in the dark? He says, yeah, I'm in the dark. Don't worry, I'm taking fine care of you. She says, no, I'm nervous. Turn on the light. You're allowed to turn on the light, even violate a deiraisa in order to calm her down. To do a yishuv adas for the chayil, even allowed to violate a malacha deiraisa. And the Mishnah Berurah over there, Sifkan Gimel, explains, to calm him down, you're allowed to violate a malacha deiraisa. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Vav Sif Test, let's say they say, I want the television on. I can't sit here without the television on. Turn the television on. Yishuv Adas too, where they want the newspaper. Check the box score or something. That's not good enough. It's only if they're afraid you're not taking care of them properly. You're afraid you're not taking care of them properly, you could violate a Deraisa. If they just want something, that's not called Yishuv Adas for the Chayla, that would allow you to violate a Melacha Deraisa. But if they're afraid you're not taking care of them properly, even though, truth of the matter is, you're taking fine care of them, it's not going to make any difference, but that's what they're nervous about, then you can even violate a malacha, you can even violate a malacha deiraisa. Ramosha quotes this as well with regards to, let's say, a husband traveling with his wife. Ramosha said, let's say, your wife wants you to travel with her in the ambulance. So Ramosha assumed an extra person in the ambulance was using more gas, and there would be more malachas. Shmuel Shabbos Kilchasa says it depends whether how heavy the ambulance is. There might just be like a max, you know, like where one extra person is not going to make you use more gas. Rabbi Bleich has in the, he depends, it depends if it's a car or an ambulance, that's the Shmiras Shabbos Kochasa. Rabbi Bleich, in one of his articles in the Contemporary Halachic Problems, says that when there was a, you know, there used to be over here in Yeshiva, a Belfer School of Science or something, and they wanted to fire, whatever, they closed the whole school in order to cut costs. That's why the Belfer Hall is called Belfer Hall. There used to be a Belfer School of something or other over there. So when there was such a Belfer School, they did a study on this. Is that true that by more people in the car, you use more or less gas? And the Rabbi Bleich quotes the study. And they said, no, it's too dependent on too many variables. How often you press the gas pedal. You know, some, you know, like my wife drives like this, you know, constantly like this, you know, stopping short, starting, stopping, stop. So it depends how much you use the brake, or do you ride the brake, you don't ride the brake. Depends on the road surface. Is it bumpy? Is it flat? So it's too hard to tell. So, but Ramesh assumed that it does. I mean, maybe it doesn't. But Ramesh assumed one extra person in the car adds weight, will use more malachas. So Ramesh said, you're allowed to travel, and the husband allowed to come with her in the car. So Rabbi Neuberger mentioned that which it says in the Nishmas Avraham, that to have an advocate with you there in the hospital so you don't end up being forgotten about is for sure pikuach nefesh. Nowadays, you need an advocate there. So that would be allow you to violate Shabbos. But let's say without the advocacy issue, Ramesha says yes, because since the wife wants the husband to come, assuming she wants the husband to come, since she wants the husband to come, so then it calms her down. And she thinks without the husband, she's not going to be taken as well, good care of, so then that itself, in order to be miyash of the das of the wife, should be allowed. Similar issue comes up with regards to these doulas, if you know what a doula is. A doula is like an advanced labor coach, where they practice with the wife throughout the pregnancy, had not just lama, you know, like breathing, but they do other techniques. It's all to avoid epidurals. But anyway, so you have these a doula. Can a doula, who's like a labor coach, travel to the? It's a firm. A lot of firm women now are being doulas. Can she travel to the hospital to be with her client? Whatever, I think that's what they call them. Can she travel with her client to the hospital? So the woman wants her. But yeah, but it's just to be calm her down. So Rav Gavriel Tzinnener is the one who puts out all the Svarim Nite Gavriel. So he printed in a journal called Or Yisrael, which is published by an institution in Muncie. So he writes there, no, the doula cannot come on Shabbos. Because it's just to calm the woman down anyway, just to be prevent a little pain. Either way, she'll be fine either way. So no, he says no. So I thought he's wrong on many scores. Number one, I think, first of all, calms her down. She thinks that the doula is going to help her. Whether she's right or not, empirically, is irrelevant. She thinks the woman doula is going to help her. And it happens to be statistics show that they prevent cesarean section. Cesarean section itself is a sakonis nefesh. It's mamish an operation on top of the labor. So, and the doulas do reduce cesarean section. And just reducing pain itself is a reason to be Mechal al Shabbos. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasas quotes in the name of Shlomo Zalman that to put a morphine drip in on Shabbos or an epidural on Shabbos is a Melacha D'Oraisa because it's an intravenous type injection. Regular injections, you should know this, regular injections, a muscular injection is not a Melacha at all. That's a Mutter on Shabbos. I mean, it's Refuah, but as long as you're dealing with a Chayla, even a Chayla She'en Basakana, a injection is allowed. Lots of kids now are on injection. Insulin, first of all, diabetic is the sakonis nefashos, but let's say HGH injections or very common, or fertility injections, also very common. So if it's just an intramuscular injection, which many of them are, that's not. If you know how to give an injection, there should be no bleeding. And if there is, it's the davar she'eino miskaven. But the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says to put it in a vein, there you have to extract blood to see that you're in the vein. So that could involve a melacha d'oraisa. He's not sure. That might involve a melacha d'oraisa. Nonetheless, a morphine drip or epidural or allowed on Shabbos. Why? It's a melacha d'oraisa. It's just to relieve pain. The answer is relieving pain is itself sakonis nefashos. That itself is part of the sakonis nefashos. So Shlomo Zalman held to relieve pain is also. So I don't know. The doula thing doesn't. Rav Tzinnener said doesn't. On many levels, doesn't seem to me to be correct. Okay, but this is not Shah Tzarachov. This is to calm the Chayla down to make sure that they don't think you're taking care of them properly. Shah Tzarachov is ancillary care. One issue of Shah Tzarachov that comes up often is a common Shiloh now is a lot of premature babies are on the rise. Women are giving birth much earlier now. I don't know what the reason for it is, but it's very common. And what happens is, a lot of times with premature babies, a baby can't suck, or the baby's in the NICU for an extended period of time, and they will ask the woman, a woman wants to breastfeed, but the child is not ready for it, or the mother's not there all the time, so they ask a woman to pump milk on Shabbos, and then bring it to the hospital. And they store it, and they feed it to the baby. So during the week, it's all fine. What about on Shabbos, to pump milk into a container on Shabbos is a malacha d'oraisa of chaliva. So yes, but it's going to be for the baby. So if the baby would nurse, it's allowed. But to pump it into a kli, as a shaila, can you do that for a child in the premature baby? So the Gemara happens to say, I once heard a Paisek quote this. It's mamish. This is I don't understand. He's a respected Paisek. I don't understand how he quoted this. But the Gemara says, "Masechta Zivamis, that a tinok mesukan hu eats a chalav. A tinok is like to have his milk is like a sakanas nefashis." So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes. He said, "Yes, of course, it's always mutter." But Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes in the Har Tzvi that that means if there's no other food, then it's sakanas nefashis. But whether you like formula or you don't like formula, you believe in breastfeeding, you don't believe in breastfeeding, no baby is dying from starvation because of the lack of formula. There's formula all over the place. You might breastfeeding might be preferable, but there's certainly milk. So it's to call that tinok mesukan eitzel chalav, I think, is a stretch. But either way, the Rav Nishma Savram quotes in the name of the Chazon Ish and Shlomo Zalman, the same as Rav Avadia has, if the child is itself, the child is himself in a sakanas nefashis, he's in an intensive, anybody who's in an intensive care unit, in my book, is in a psychonist nefashis. The insurance company wouldn't pay for it otherwise. So the child is in the intensive care unit, and they ask you to bring milk, so then Shar Tzarachov should allow you to bring the milk that the child prefers, meaning the mother's milk. And there's antibodies in the milk that prevent infection. You know, you talk to the breastfeeding advocates, they'll tell you, you know, every day the mother and the child are in synergy, and the mother's producing what the baby needs. If that would be the case, we'd force women to breastfeed. So I don't think we're ready to compel women, you must breastfeed because you're saving your child. But at the same time, if the baby with the mother prefers that the child has this mother's milk, it should be allowed. If the child is a chayla sheyesh basakana, he's in an intensive care, that's shar tarachav. If stam, a mother has more milk than the child drinks, and the child is 4 months old at home and he's bouncing around the house, I don't think there's a heter to put it in a kli. But if the child is already a chayla sheyesh basakana, that might be included in shar tzarachah. Who is a chayla sheyesh basakana? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Chav Ches, Sif Gimel Sif Hey, anybody who has a maka shel chalal, that means a maka on the inside of the body, from the teeth and within, even a dental abscess, could be infected, could be a chayla sheyesh basakana. Any of these things could be a chayla sheyesh basakana. Again, I think the rule of thumb is like Rabbi Neuberger quoted from the Aruch HaShulchan, whatever you do during the week, whatever we all just intuitively know from a life experience is a chayla sheyesh basakana, is a chayla sheyesh basakana on Shabbos. Whatever is not, is not. What about mental illness? I don't know, Rabbi Neuberger mentioned it this year. I think he did. Rav Shechter quotes in the Big Fayat Sain and in the Nefesh HaRa from Reb Chaim, name of Rav Shechter, the name of Reb Chaim, that mental illness as well can be considered a chayli sheyesh basakana. Rav Moshe is disagreeing with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has an etshuva only if the guy is suicidal. If he's not suicidal, it's not a chayli sheyesh basakana. Reb Chaim held, even if the guy is not suicidal, just the quality of life of healing someone from mental illness is itself considered to be a chayli sheyesh basakana. That might be a broader thing. That quality of life itself might be considered chayli sheyesh basakana. Like the Yushalmi says in Masechta Yevamis, Rav Shechter quotes this too, that were it not for the fact that Eishes Ish, to get married to someone else, is a Yahari Val Yavar, we would have allowed an Aguna to remarry because of Pikuach Nefesh. Meaning for her to remain married is itself Pikuach Nefesh because its quality of life is seriously limited. But it happens to be, it is Yahari Val Yavar, so we can't allow it. But that itself, even though it's a quality of life issue, itself could sometimes be Zakonis Nefashis. So okay, so too here, mental illness, the quality of life itself could be Zakonis Nefashis, even if the person is not suicidal. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Lam and Sif Aleph that when you're taking care of your lettuce on Shabbos, you have to try and lower the level of the Issur that you're doing. So that's a problem, because if you remember, the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is when it comes to general Pikuach Nefesh, you don't have to lower the level of Issur. The Ramah said you have to try and minimize the conflict and lower the level of Issur, but the Shulchan Aruch didn't say like that. Yet over here, the Shulchan Aruch does say by your lettuce that you do have to lower the level of Issurim. Why? So Rabbi Neuberger has quoted in the past the Magen Mishnah, that the Magen Mishnah held that a Yoledes is different than every other Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana. Every other Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, you don't have to lower the level of Yisurim. When it comes to Yoledes, since that's kind of regular, run-of-the-mill, that's part of the life cycle, she doesn't get the heter of Pikuach Nefesh's Hutra on Shabbos. By her, it's Dechuya, and therefore you have to lower the level of Yisurim if it's possible. But I don't get the sense that Rav HaPoiskim Paskin like this Magen Mishnah. Most accept what it says in the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav in his Sefer on Rosh Hashanah, Yuma's, Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, and whatever. You know what I'm talking about? The Brisker Rav is a separate Sefer. On Yuma, it's in the Mar Mekayim. So the Brisker Rav distinguishes between Leda and a Yoledes. He notes a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Lam and Sifra Aleph that with regards to Leda, birthing, there you have to try and lower the level of Iser as much as possible. When it, in Sif Gimel, though, when he's talking about taking care of Yoledes, there he doesn't say it. Because what the Brisker Rav explains is that Leda, before she's a Yoledes, a woman only becomes a Yoledes, says in the Shulchan Aruch, when she's Yashva Ramashber, when she's sitting on the birthing table, when blood begins to come, that's when she's a Yoledes. When she's a Yoledes, you don't have to lower the level of Isurim. She's a real Chayosh Yesh Basakana. Leda, birth, before she's a Yoledes, then you do have to lower the level of Isurim. Meaning, because there, that's a situation where the person is not yet a Chayosh Yesh Basakana, but they might become one. Then you have to lower the level of Isurim. Once the person is a Chayosh Yesh Basakana, then you don't have to lower the level of Isurim. But there's a difference between Leda and a Yoledes. Rishka Rav compares it to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim held that in order to prevent a chayla from becoming sick on Yom Kippur, that's when you have to drink pachas mikashir, less than a shir. Once a person is a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, you don't have to drink pachas mikashir. You can drink regularly. You can drink normally. Meaning, in order, before a person has become a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, you have to do things differently, but not once you are already a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. Okay, so that's who a chayla sheyesh b'sakana is. Any makash al chalal, a yaledes, is also a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. What about less than that? Less than that, you know, one madriga lower than that is a sakana sefer. We already said, we quoted what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin, we paskin sakana sefer. You cannot violate doiraisas, only an eye, a sakana, but every other sefer, you can only violate the rabbanans. Again, we said that practically every sakana sefer is a sakana stafashas, but in theory, that would be the case. What about a chayla she ain't ba sakana? That's one madriga lower than a sakana sefer. What is it? What about a chayla she'ein bo sakana, a non-life-threatening illness? What is that? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud Zayin, that's a chayla that's nafal l'mishkav. He's fallen ill in bed. So Ramos says, and that's the way many svarim will teach it, that he guy has to be fallen ill in bed. Many poskim paskin like that. The Ramos, though, seems to imply otherwise. Because the Ramos says, any tzarchei tinoik, we award the status of a chayla she'ein bo sakana. Like if a chayla wants scrambled eggs, a child wants scrambled eggs. I know a kid, whatever, had scrambled eggs every single day, years. The kid grew up, had a cholesterol through the roof. But the kid had, because they had made in the house, scrambled eggs every day scrambled eggs. So let's say Shabbos comes, the kid wants the scrambled eggs. So you can have it. You can do it. The nachri can make it for the kid, otherwise the kid is going to throw a temper tantrum. He didn't get his scrambled eggs. His cholesterol, you know, fixed for the day. So then so it's allowed. Well, it's an Isidur Abanan of Amir Lenachri. Amir Lenachri is mutter for Chayla She'en Bo Sakana. So it says in the Ramah, Tzarchei Tinoik is like a Chayla She'en Bo Sakana. Why? Why? He's not Nafal Lemishkav. He might throw a temper tantrum. So what? So if Shechter explains in the Bikvei Hatzon, and others echo a similar idea, you see from the Ramah that Chayla She'en Bo Sakana doesn't mean you're literally lying down in bed. What it means is you can't function normally. The child will lose his normal schedule and routine if he doesn't get his eggs. So too, any Chayla that can't do what he normally does. A guy goes to shul and he can't because he's not well. Guy normally has a chavrusa and he can't because he's a headache. That's already considered to be a Chayla She'en Bo Sakana even though he's not lying down. That's what the Ramah means. It's so often misunderstood. The Ramah says in Siman Reish Nun Gimel, HaKol Chaylem Eitzel Hatzina. When it comes to the cold, we are all a Chaylem. And therefore, you can ask the Nachri to turn on the heat. You can violate the Mew and Nachri because we're all cold. It doesn't mean we're all going to get sick and die from pneumonia. That's not what it means, Chas V'Shalom. What it means is, you can't function normally wearing a coat all in your house. You can't function normally. That's why Dayan Weiss writes in the Minchas Yitzchak, HaKol Cholim nowadays, Eitel HaChaim. When it comes to the heat, we're also Cholim. Doesn't mean you're going to get a heat stroke or dehydrate. What it means is we can't function normally in the heat. We just don't do well. Ah, what did they do in the days before air conditioning? The Kasha of Mice. I don't know. They were hot. Well, the Mice, they were used to it. We're not used to it. We're so fickle. We can't, so weak. We can't even handle that. So nowadays, HaKol Cholim Eitel HaChaim, you could ask a Nochri to turn on the air conditioner probably as well. Amir or Nochri, in extreme heat, I don't think it means, you know, you're a little warm, but perhaps also you could ask a Nochri to fix the air conditioning on Shabbos, because HaKol Cholim Eitel HaChaim. That's why also, the Paiskim, right, the Yaakov Breish has this, or Moshe has this, that if a couple is infertile, that they could use medication on Shabbos, or violating Amir or Nochri, all of these things should be allowed because, again, they're not able to function normally and have children normally. Or, Dayan Weiss writes, Viagra also. The guy can't function normally, so Viagra should also be allowed. One could call Viagra like a Sarkonis Aver. I've heard the Paiskim say like that. It's like, the Aver is not functioning. I don't know. But the general heter is because the body is not functioning as it should. And therefore, you have the heter of chayla she'ein bo sakana. Same should be true for like sleeping pills. I know people do this. Take a sleeping pill Friday night; otherwise, they have trouble falling asleep. So it's a chayla she'ein bo sakana. If you can't sleep, so then you're allowed to take a sleeping pill. And then in the morning, you want a caffeine pill. So then, same people take sleeping pills. Usually, take caffeine pills. So then, they want the caffeine pill in the morning. So that's allowed too. You can't function normally. Should be allowed. If you still want a pep in your step, have a caffeine pill, I don't think you could do that. Or you still, drugging yourself out Friday night, I want to really sleep, so pop an Ambien. I don't know if that's mutter either. But it has to be, you can't function. Then you're chayla she'ein bo sakana. Which isurim amutter for chayla she'ein bo sakana is four opinions in the Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud Zayin. And the Shulchan Aruch says, we passing like the third opinion. That only two things are mutter for a chayla she'ein bo sakana. Kil achar yad and amira lunachri. That is it. That's it. Not all the rabbanans. Sakana's aver is above chayla she'ein bo sakana, then all the rabbanans are mutter. But for chayla she'ein bo sakana, all you get is kil achar yad and amira lunachri. The problem is, the Ramah says in Sif Lamed Zion, the Mishnah Berurah already asked the contradiction, the medications, which are usher on Shabbos because Shema Yimachek Samimonim, you might have to grind medications, you might come to grind the ingredients, and you'll be over on Teichen. So it's usher in the Rabbanon to take medication on Shabbos because Exer the Rabbanon of Teichen, you might come to violate Teichen. So, but that's mutter for Chol HaShem Basakana. So if all that's mutter is Kalachar Yad and Amir Lenachri, why is Rafua B'Shabbos mutter? That's Exer, maybe you'll violate Teichen. So in fact, the Bir Halacha quotes over there from the Mishkan is Yaakov that, you're right, medication's also out. No medication for Chayla She'ein bo sakana. But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't accept that. The Mishnah Berurah draws a quote in the name of the Radvaz that there's a difference between Melachas Derabbanan and Gzeros Derabbanan. The Rambam has this language at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. There's two types of Derabbanan. There's some Derabbanan because it looks like a Melacha, like writing with your left hand. And then there's a Derabbanan that's because you might come to do something else, like taking medication. So all gzeros midrabbanim, which are represented by medication, are also mutter for chayla she'ein bo sakana. Rav Shechter has a whole piece about this in the Eretz HaTzvi. So three things are mutter for chayla she'ein bo sakana: kelachar yad, amir lenachri, and gzeros derabbanim. A gzeros derabbanim, by the way, is like mekach u'memkar. You're not allowed to do business on Shabbos. You might come to write it down. So let's say a chayla needs medication on Shabbos. You should be allowed to go to the store. Mukta will have to work around, but you should be allowed to go to the store and buy something for him. You violate Mekach u'Memkar, but that's mutter for Chayla She'ein bo sakana. So if a guy needs medication, perhaps should be allowed. You have medication dropped off on Shabbos, it's for sure allowed. That's Amir Lenachri, and even if you're doing business on Shabbos, it's mutter. The Mishnah Berurah on Sifkan Kuf Beis, though, quotes from Achai Adam that this is all if you could do it a different way. But if you can't do it a different way, meaning there's no way around it, you can even violate a malacha derabbanan for chayla she'ein bo sakana. Meaning if there's no other option, all derabbanan are mutter for chayla she'ein bo sakana. Not everyone accepts the Chai Yodam. I know Rav Shechter doesn't like it. He thinks only gzeiros derabbanan, kelachar yad, and amir lenachri. But some are mekel, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Gleital, all derabbanan if it's not possible to do it in any other way. Yeah. That's why, by the way, for a guy to return from a hospital on Shabbos. Let's say a guy has a procedure done. A woman gives birth. So what is she going to do? She's being kicked out by insurance. What are we supposed to do? Sit in the waiting room all day Shabbos? She's certainly still a chayla she'im bo sakana. She's not back to health yet. Or a kid gets stitches on Shabbos. Now you want to get home. So you can sit in the waiting room all day Shabbos with a kid that just had stitches. But I wouldn't want to be sitting in the waiting room all day Shabbos with a kid that just had. Unless you're going to let the kid watch the television. What is he going to do all day Shabbos over there in the waiting room? Kid's going to drive you nuts. Kid is a chayla she'im bo sakana. So you could probably take a taxi home. Ask a Nachri to take you home. Amir Nachri, but Tchumin is the Rabbanon. Maybe you're outside of the Tchum Shamans. So we pass him, Tchumin is the Rabbanon. So if you allow us another the Rabbanon, if you know other way around it, you could get home from the emergency room also, Shamans. Take a taxi home. What is included in the Isser of Refuah B'Shabbos? So there's two exclusions to the Isser of Refuah B'Shabbos. We're almost done. Do we just have the Isser Refuah on Shabbos and we'll be done? One exclusion is called over here, Sifchaf Aleph, is if it's Michael Briim, meaning everyone, people who are healthy eat it, like chicken soup. Chicken soup is mutter. That's not Refuah B'Shabbos. Even if you're eating it because you have a cold, that's mutter. Michael Briim is allowed. Or if you are eating it, it's a Refuah, but you're not sick. Like Halls. Let's say you have this weird guy who likes Halls. Ludens is not medication. Ludens is just candy, which they market as medication. But that's a Halls, Mamish doesn't taste good. But okay, you like it. I don't know. You like it. So a guy likes it, that's mutter. That's mutter. But what about, right. So either it's Michael Briam or you're not sick. So Paiskim have very creative applications of this. Let's say birth control. Birth control on Shabbos, a pill. That's Refuah B'Shabbos. Yeah, but who's sick? No one's sick. So that's why Rabbi Henkin and they quoted this at Rabbi Henkin's funeral. I think Rabbi Shefter told me they said this. This was one of the Hespedim. It was such a grace of Pesach that he said this kula that birth control is mutter because there's no one sick, or maybe it's Michael Briam. Everyone who takes it is well. It's not. They quoted the name of Rabbi Yaakov Breisch. Also a similar idea. So he has the same thing. They quoted the name of Aaron Soloveitchik. I heard this from Shefter that aspirin for people who need blood thinners. They used to give aspirin to prevent heart attack or blood clotting or strokes. That you're not sick. I don't know. He wasn't so happy about that. Maybe you are sick. But okay. Along these lines, that's perhaps the heter for birth control. What about vitamins on Shabbos? So Mishnah Brura says in Sivkot and Kuf Chaf that lechaze gufo is usher. That's called medication. Meaning if you are not sick, it's fine. Or it's Michael Brian. But lechaze gufo, I'm sorry, if it makes you stronger, well, then that is a medication. I mean, you're taking it to make you stronger, and it does make you stronger. That's called a medication, and that's called you're sick. So vitamins are lechaze, the Mishnah Berurah says lechaze gufo. So if Shechter understood from there, so does Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the vitamins are lechaze gufo, and therefore vitamins should be included in the Easter of Refuah B'Shabbos. You get a kula out of that, and Rosh Shechter makes this point in his documents to the OU, is that vitamins could be treif. Because it's a medication. Medications is not food. So if Shechter's whole opinion about pills are, as long as it's not food, it doesn't taste like. If it's chewable, you don't have this cooler. If Flintstones, this won't help you. But if it's not chewable, that mamish tastes like, again, it's not medication. It doesn't taste like food. If you would chew a swallowable vitamin, that's a medication, and therefore, even if it's treif, it should be allowed. Rav Shechter there, though, quotes in the name of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has this part in the tshuva. The other part is Mipi Yashmua. Rav Moshe says in the tshuva, vitamins are not medication. They're mutter on Shabbos. Because it's a food supplement. You're doing it to supplement your diet. You don't like eating healthy, so you're going to take the rest in a vitamin. So that's a food supplement, mutter on Shabbos. The other flip side of that is that Rav Moshe held vitamins have to be kosher. Even if it's just a swallowable pill, it's not a medication, so therefore would have to be kosher. Rav Shechter kind of backed away a little bit from this, because let's say you take a vitamin every day. If it's an everyday vitamin, no one's sick. So it should be Michael Briam. So Rav Shechter held, you're right, if you take it every day, that's Michael Briam. But Rav Shechter, see, he's working within his own reality. Rav Shechter only takes vitamins when he's sick. That's what he told me. He only takes vitamin C. If he already feels himself getting sick, then I told him, Rebbe, it doesn't work that way. Once you're already sick, vitamin C is not going to help you. But Lamai said, that's how he takes vitamins. If it's in response to a condition. like you're a woman is pregnant or trying to get pregnant, so she takes prenatal vitamins, that's not Michael Briam. But if you take a multivitamin every day, he agreed that that should be called Michael Briam, and that should be mutter. You might even still get the kula of the tarfus. I'm not sure, but you might even still get that kula. If you take it every day, it should be Michael Briam, like the birth control. You know, no one's sick. So maybe it should be around. Rabbi Willard calls all vitamins a mutter on Shabbos because they do nothing. They don't work. That's his shita. His shita is vitamins. You spend a lot of money to have expensive waste. He holds it just, it goes in, out, doesn't do anything for you. So he holds his mutter anyway because it doesn't work. But there are vitamins that do work. Doctors say that with mamish kind of stuff, there's a folic acid that the pregnant woman take or woman who just gave birth take. So that, the price can say, is mamash lakonis nefoshis. You have to take this folic acid. And one doctor told me the statistics and the difference between women who take it and don't take it is mamash lakonis nefoshis. So that, of course, would be allowed. What about an ongoing medication? So it says in the Gemara, there was a chiltis, a certain medicine that if you took it Thursday, Friday, and you didn't take it Shabbos, you'd be in lakonis nefoshis. So the price can say, you see from here, that even if it's just to prevent sickness, let's say Thursday, Friday, and now if you don't take it Shabbos, you will get sick. You're allowed to take it on Shabbos to prevent yourself from getting sick. So preventative medication, Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe, and others have this too, is mutter on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Kluger understood from that Gemara, anything that you take in a series, I take it every day, like antibiotics, you take for a 10-day course of medication, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos is allowed. Rav Moshe disagreed and he said, no, it's just Thursday, Friday. If you don't take a Shabbos, you'll get sick. To prevent sickness is allowed. Not any course of medication is allowed. But most courses of antibiotics, they give you 10 days because we don't have to pick apart the doctors. The policy is 10 days, otherwise you'll get sick again. So then you take it all 10 days. To prevent sickness is also allowed. Included in this Iser of Refuah B'Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Mem Beis, is you're not allowed to do exercise. The Mishnah Berurah says, because you will sweat. And sweating was included in the Iser of Refuah B'Shabbos. There's a tshuva in the Malabim L'Hoyo, where they wanted to introduce exercise into the Jewish day school regimen, which I know somehow ran on Shabbos, or maybe Shabbos groups, they wanted to have like exercise. So he held, you're not allowed to do exercise on Shabbos, as long as it's Nikar, that it's Refuah. If you want to take a Shabbos Shpatzir on Shabbos, you want to go for a walk, that's Michael Briam. Even though you're doing it for exercise to walk off that extra piece of kishka you ate, that's allowed. If you put on your sneakers and you put on your sweatband and you go power walking, and you put on your loose, you know, woman puts on her loose skirt and she goes through the park like this, that's exercise on Shabbos. That's not allowed. You can't call that a Shabbos Shpatzir. But if you it's not nikar, then it's Michael Briam. And even if you have in mind exercise, it should all be allowed. The Pesukim say, even if you don't, it doesn't really have to do with sweat. Sweat was kind of just an indicator that it's working. But any kind of exercise, which you could have achieved the same result through medication, that very point Rabbi Neuberger made. If you can't achieve the same result through medication, then there's no Iser Refuah B'Shabbos. Like physical therapy is allowed because you can't achieve the same result through medication. But much of exercise, you can achieve the same result through medication. You can't achieve sweat through medication. I don't know if there was ever a medication that induced sweat. Maybe there was. But what it means is the sweat is just an indicator that you're exercising properly. But anything that you could bring about the same result through medication, which many of that you could, weight loss and all the things that you're doing the exercise for, so then you could do it through medication too, then it would be Asar on Shabbos is included in the Yisr of Refuah B'Shabbos. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says if you enjoy the exercise, then it's allowed. If you enjoy the exercise, then it's allowed. He compares it to the Shulchan Aruch that says that you're allowed to run. Little kids are allowed to run on Shabbos. Bachrim hamisangim beritza are allowed to run on Shabbos, even though you're not allowed to run on Shabbos because shiloh heilucha b'Shabbos ki lucha b'chol. Little children are allowed to run on Shabbos. However, the Magen Avraham and the Taz said, why not adults? Don't adults enjoy running on Shabbos too? So they explain that no. Little kids enjoy running in circles. A little kid would run in circles and circles and circles and circles for no reason at all. You ask him, why are you running? I don't know. He's just running. That's what kids do. adults, if they enjoy exercise, what they enjoy about the exercise is that it's healthy for them and they get better and they feel stronger and they feel good that they lost weight. That's what adults enjoy about exercise. No adult that I know runs around the block for absolutely no reason just to burn off steam. Most people don't do that. They say, yes, it clears their mind. What it really means is you feel better because you know you're healthier. So that's what the Magen Avraham and the Taz say. This doesn't apply to adults. Unless you actually have a zazach, an adult that's not doing it for exercise, he simply enjoys exercise lishma, a basketball game lishma on Shabbos, not to shame basketball. But then I would tell you, it might be Issa Mutter, it's not an Issa Refuah b'Shabbos, but his priorities are off. You know, that's not, you should have other things to do with your time on Shabbos. It's just, it's a grace of Vital Torah then. Might be other problems. But it would not be Refuah b'Shabbos if you actually enjoy it to the Shema. Okay, Rabbi Sashkoyach.